Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. That's not just what Mother Valerie and I say. It's the title of our word this morning. Look how God does it. We say that to God every day, and today God gave it back to us in our Psalm 118 word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely, cool morning?
It's a beautiful day, and I'm doing good. God is good. He's good all the time.
Yes, he is.
He woke us up. It's a beautiful day. Wonderful.
I'm just grateful. I'm grateful, as they say. I'm thankful. I'm grateful, and I know that I know. Hallelujah. Know that I know I am blessed. Mother Valerie, can you hear me clearly now?
I can.
Praise the Lord.
Good morning, Saints.
Good morning, Saints. I pray everyone slept well, and as Morning Glory Nation said, that no things broke in and no fires broke out. Hallelujah. Just a great morning. You know, as Mother Valerie likes to watch the sunrise in the morning, I tell you, this morning it's coming up. And it's coming up, as always, just beautiful. And all I can say is thank you, God. Well, we can give God thanks for another day. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. And we sometimes forget to just thank God for our blessings. Thank him for the sunrise. Seems like something real simple. But to somebody, it's a big deal that the sun is rising and they are still here. Praise the Lord, somebody. We got to give God thanks. So easy to whine and complain about everything. You know, complaining, it's cold outside. I had to stay up late. You know what? God, thank you. I slept real good. I had to stay up late. I actually did. Getting ready for a trip I'm about to take. And you guys are probably like, she sure does go on a lot of trips. I am just starting to. And I know that Mother is going to be traveling very, very soon. And I believe, Mother, when are you leaving?
I'm leaving Monday.
So we won't have you for 2 weeks?
2 whole weeks.
Oh, now I complain. Oh, Mother won't be here for 2 weeks, y'all. But Mother is doing what Mother needs to do. Mother is going on assignment. And that's how we look at what we need to do for God. We're going on assignment. And
amen.
I believe that I'm going on assignment this weekend, the Lord with me. So we are going to go on assignment, Mother and I. But I'll be back on Sunday. and Mother is going to be coming this morning. This is Old Testament Friday. Woo! And we got some great words this morning. Real good words. As you all know, we just started with our psalm that we speak every day when we come on the air. And this morning, that just happens to be the title of our lesson, because that's what God gave me. And I am so grateful, because it just fits in so perfectly. This is
Amen.
The day that the Lord has made. We, you, myself, Mother, we will rejoice and be glad in it. What a day, what a day, what a day.
Amen.
Grateful, thankful, and as always, so very blessed. So, Mother, you want to bring us in this morning?
Father God, in Jesus' name, we just want to thank and praise you for another day, another beautiful, beautiful day. For this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're glad that you woke us up. Bless your pastor, Pastor Jesse. She's on a mission, and Pastor Bridget, and bless the talk show. And bless the creations of God and the saints of God. We thank you, God, for everything. We are grateful and thankful. We're thankful in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. And, you know, I was looking up an article on Wikipedia on, you know, today is Friday the 13th. And I thought about that. I'm like, you know what, God? Evil only happens when evil people do it. And this is what it says. It says Friday the 13th is considered an unlucky day in Western superstition. It occurs when the 13th day of the month in the Georgian calendar falls on a Friday, which happens at least once every year, but can occur up to three times in the same year. For example, 2015 had a Friday the 13th in February, March, and November, which will happen again in 2017 through 2020 had two Fridays the 13th. 2016, 2021, 2022 had one Friday the 13th, as well as 2025. 2023 and 2024 have two Fridays the 13th. A month has a Friday the 13th, if only it begins on a Sunday. All right. Woo. You know, and it says, one source mentioned for the unlucky nature of the number 13 is a North myth about 12 gods having a dinner party in Valhalla. The trickster god Loki, who was not invited, arrived as the 13th guest and arranged for Thor to shoot Balder with a mistletoe-tipped arrow. Darcy, Balder died, and the whole earth got dark. The whole earth mourned. It was a bad, unlucky day. This major event in Norse mythology caused the number 13 to be considered, and then it goes on to talk about us as Christians. It says the superstition seems to relate to various things, like the story of Jesus' Last Supper and crucifixion, in which there were 13 individuals present in the upper room on the 13th of Nisan, Monday, Thursday, the night before the death on Good Friday. You know, we can go all in on all this superstitious nonsense, but you have to get out and give it to God. And when you give it to God, you don't worry about tricksters. You don't worry about being unlucky. You know, you don't worry about the black cat and all that foolishness. You say, Lord, I give it to you, and you take it as any other day. Because as far as I'm concerned, this is just any other Friday. I got to work, and that's
Amen.
All I can say.
Amen.
Because I gave it to God, and that's where it's going to stay. And I just wanted to say to Mother Valerie this morning, Mother, you will be missed as you do your travel. Travel with God, and know that
Amen.
You are covered by the blood of Jesus from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. God got you. And he's got you from the crown of your head. That's right. To the soles of your feet, as I have said. I believe God and I trust God. And we're going to go forth. And the word of God is coming this morning out of Jeremiah, to starting in chapter 11. And we will be going all the way to chapter 16. And then we come back and we will go from the 118th Psalm, verses 10 through verse 24. And Mother will be coming with verse 24 this morning. She'll be in that section of the Psalms because it's only appropriate for Mother to end the show as I began the show. Hallelujah. And our Proverbs this morning are starting in Proverbs chapter 27, starting at verse 8 and ending at Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 10. And so, as you say, let's get started. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace and kindness, Lord God. We thank you for traveling grace and mercy for all of us that are traveling on today, our pastor. Lord God, the choir director and choir members are also traveling. I will be also traveling, and Mother will be taking a trip on Monday, Lord, and we know that you have one of us covered by angel of mercy and grace. Father God, we thank you for the blessings that you bestow. You bestow grace and you bestow the blessings of Abraham. Father God, we thank you for safe travel. We thank you for a great day. Lord God, we bind any spirits that will try to attack people today. Those that walk in superstition, God, we bind that. We bind it in the name of Jesus. But this is a day you made, God. And no devil in hell can come in and take the blessings that you have bestowed. In the name of Jesus, we bind and rebuke any spirit that has tried to attack families, that has tried to attack our home, that has attacked our home. They got to go. They got to go. They are not welcome in our homes. They are not welcome in our churches. They are not welcome on this moment. In the name of Jesus, we bind violence. In the name of Jesus, we bind dissent. We bind the spirit of offense. And Lord God, we lose love. We lose kindness. We lose hope and faith. We lose you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for this word. May it bless someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we get into our book of Jeremiah, there's some things going on. Jeremiah is trying to give warning. He is doing his best to try to get the attention of God's people. And this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the word of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. And I answered and said, so be it, Lord. Then the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words and do them, for I earnestly exhort your fathers. In the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ears, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. And the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers who refused to hear, Can I say it again? Who refused to hear. How many times are people refusing to hear God's word? He said, my words, and they have gone after other gods, serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods, the little g, to whom they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. So do not pray for this people or lift up a cry of prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many, and the holy flesh has passed from you? When you do evil, then you rejoice. The Lord called your name, green olive tree, lovely of the good fruit, the noise of a great torment. He has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. But the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger and offering incense to Baal. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, but you showed me their doing, but I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter. And I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. But, O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. Whew. And when you go back and read that word, and I just want to break it down just a minute, because now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for he showed me their doing. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. Wow. And the Lord said, he said it, but O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance. Jeremiah's like, hey, they trying to tear me apart. You know, let me see your vengeance on them, for you, for to you I have revealed my heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord, concerning the men of Anath who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, and their sons and their daughters shall die by the famine. And there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anath, even the year of their punishment. Wow. God don't play and don't mess with his anointed. Are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgment? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me. And you have tested my heart toward you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long Jeremiah's like, I'm tired of you folks. How long will the land mourn and the earth of every field with it? The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said he will not see our final end. If you have run with the footmen and have worried you, then how can you continue with them? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they worried you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Even your brothers, the house of your fathers, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hands of her enemies. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Some assemble all the beasts of the field, bring them to devour. Many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant position, portion, a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. And as we see desolation going on in Israel as they bombard that little strip of land called Gaza with the millions of into shreds. And these people have nowhere to go. It says you need to get out of Gaza. Where can they go when you gated them in and the only thing left is the ocean, and the ocean you got booby trapped in? So they can't get in and out of there either. What do they do and where do they go? And to the people of Hamas, how can you destroy the holiest city on this planet? How can you go against God? You will be destroyed. God does not play. And he don't play favor. For the sword of the Lord shall devour, it says it, from one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be after I have plucked them out that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, every one to his heritage and every one to his land. And it shall be if they will learn carefully the ways of my people, to swear by my name as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. God don't play. Folks going after everybody but the one true God. Take notice. And it says in Jeremiah 11 and 14, last lesson, I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. God is speaking. God banned Jeremiah from praying for the welfare of his rebellious people. They had gone so far down a road of destruction that it had become too late for them, a time known to God alone. And we're going to go over real quick. And I mean really quick, to First John, chapter 5, verse 16. First John, chapter 5, verse number 16. Anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those who sin does not lead to death. therefore is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. Wow. Some things you got to leave alone. And it says, what sin leads to death? Some think the sin that leads to death is a persistent unbelief and rejection of the truth, which can only result in spiritual death. Others think it refers to sins that lead to physical death. So we got to understand it is all in God's hands. Everything is in God's hands. Jeremiah 12 and 15, if you have run with the footmen and they have worried you, then how can you contend with horses? God encourages us, but he also challenges us. He speaks soft words to us. Then we would need them, but he speaks harder words to us when we need them. He always gives us exactly what he needs. You better tell somebody about this family. God gives you exactly what you need. Jeremiah chapter 13. The Lord said to me, go and get yourself a linen sack and put it around your waist, but do not put it in water. So I got a sash according to the word of the Lord and put it around my waist. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, take the sash that you acquired, which is around your waist. Arise and go to the Euphrates and hide it in a hole in the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. It came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates and take from there the sash which I commanded you to hide in. Then I went to Euphrates and dug, and I took the sash from the place where I had hidden it, and there was the sash ruined. It was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, in this manner I will ruin the pride of Judah, the great pride of Jerusalem, this evil people who refuse to hear my words, who follow the dictates of their hearts and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be just like this sash, which is profitable for nothing. For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory, that they were not here. Therefore you shall speak to them this word, that says the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine. And they will say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle will be filled with wine? Then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings who sit on David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons again, sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity, not spare, not have mercy, but will destroy them. Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he causes darkness and before your feet stumble on the dark mountains. And while you are looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it dense darkness. But if you will not hear it, my soul will reap in secret for your pride. My eyes will reap bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Say to the king and to the queen mother, humble yourself, sit down, for your rule shall collapse, the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up. Oh, my. And that's what's going on right now. This fight is going on in southern Israel and northern Palestine. Wow. I'm going to read that again. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and no one shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. And that is what happened. Lift up your eyes and see those who come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you, your beautiful sheep? What will you say when he punishes you? For you have taught them to be chieftains, to be heads over you. Well, will not pain seize you like a woman in labor? And if you say in your heart, Why have these things come upon me? But the greatness of your iniquity, your skirts have been uncovered, your heels made bare. Can the Ethiopians change his skin, or the leopard his spot? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. Therefore I will scatter them like stubble that passes away by the wind of the wilderness. This is your lot, the portion of your measures from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore I will uncover your skirt over your face, that your shame may appear. See your adultery and your lustful names, the lewdness of your harlotry, your abominations on the field, in the field. Woe to you, O Jerusalem. Will you still not be made clean? And as we go back to the life lesson from chapter 14, from Dr. Stanley, it says this in Jeremiah 13:1, go and get yourself a linen sash and put it around your waist, but do not put it in one. God often has his prophets participate in graphic objective lessons, but frequently he didn't tell them what he was up to until after they had obeyed. We are to obey even when God's instructions don't seem to make much sense. Jeremiah 13:11, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. Here we see the heart of God, a passionate longing to become one with his people, to bless them, to identify them with him in such a way that they receive honor and he receives glory. Chapter 14 of Jeremiah. And Mother will be coming with chapter 15 and 16 shortly. It says, the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourns, and her gates languish. They mourn for the land. And the cry of Jerusalem has gone up. Their nobles have sent their lads for water. They went to the ditches and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads because the ground is parched. But there was no rain in the land. The plowmen were ashamed. They covered their heads. Yes, the deer also gave birth in the field, but left because there was no grass, and the wild donkey stood in the desolate heights. They sniffed at the wind like devils. Their eyes failed because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake. For our backsliding are many. We have sinned against you. Oh, the hope of Israel, his Savior in time of trouble. Why should you be like a stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night? Why should you be like a man astonished, like a mighty one who cannot save? Yet you, O Lord, are in our midst, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. Thus says the Lord to his people. Thus they have loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people. For their good, when they fast, I will not hear their cries. And when they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. Can we say proper liars? Can we say proper liars? We got proper liars right now, all on YouTube. Just proper lying their way right to hell. And I tell you, just lying to people. Folks want to hear what they want to hear. And you got those that will tell folks what they want to hear and not what thus says the Lord, not what is the truth. They want to hear loving kindness, sweet, and no. You got to get your house together. You got to get rid of the old wineskin. It's time to get new wineskin. It's time to put your new oil in a new bottle. It's time to get up and go to work. It's time to do what thus says the Lord. We don't have time for proper lying right now. Folks saying all kind of things that are not biblically accurate and not of God. And if you are a person of God, you know that they are speaking lies in the Lord's name. We got to be careful of who and what we listen to, because God will hold us accountable. And as we go back and say it again, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword, the famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem. Because of the famine and the sword, they will have no one to bury them, nor their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness on them. For you shall say this word to them, let my eyes flow with tears, night and day. Remember, they called him the crying prophet, the weeping prophet. And let them not see, for the virgin daughter of my people has been broken with a mighty stroke, with a very severe blow. If I go out to the field, then behold those slain in the sword. And if I enter the city, then behold those sick from famine. Yes, both prophet and priest go about in the land. They do not know. Have you utterly rejected Judah? Has your soul loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, but there was no good. And for the time of healing, and there was trouble. We acknowledged, O Lord, our wickedness and iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not abhor us for your name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us, and there among the idols of the nations that can be called rain, or can the heavens still shower? Are you not you, O Lord our God? Therefore we will wait for you, since you have made all these. Whew. And as it says, how does God define sin? Some people define sin as missing the mark, just as an arrow misses a bullseye on a target. This is from Dr. Stanley. God commands me are the target, and we miss God's best when we sin. Others define sin as falling short of God's perfect will. God desires that we live in wholesomeness and follow all his commandments. When we fail to do so, that is sin. The others define sin as trespassing. God designates certain areas of behavior as off limits, and when we trespass into those territories, we become subject to penalty. My personal favorite definition of sin comes from Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed to evil. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hung themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Cisterns are reservoirs dug into the earth, usually out of solid rock, designed to hold water. A fountain, on the other hand, is an artesian spring, supply of fresh, pure water. But instead of choosing God's living water, so often we choose to build our own cistern. To build is an act of the will. When we choose our way over God, we reject the artesian spring for a well of our own creation. And the Lord notes with sadness, but with certainty, it doesn't work. It can't. It's broken. Jeremiah reports, they went to this cistern and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They are ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Yes, Jesus once told a Samaritan woman by the well of Sychar, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says, if you give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water, John 4:10. In this way, he used the same word picture developed in Jeremiah to describe himself. Jesus has life to give, eternal and freely offered for forgiveness, and the eternal life associated with it is that fountain from which we can freely draw forever whenever we like. We have a choice to make. We can dig and dig, make session after session, and strive and struggle all we want, but it will never bring us fulfillment or forgiveness. Or we can choose God's way. Only God's forgiveness, granted God's way, brings the results we need. Anytime we attempt to meet our own needs or accomplish anything without God, we sin and set ourselves up for failure. We build broken treasures that cannot hold water. So why not rather go to the foot fountain and drink our fill? And as we go to Jeremiah 14:20, we have sinned against you. Confession of sin rips away the thick shroud of darkness that sin weaves around our heads and allows the light of God to penetrate our souls and fill us with life and joy. Ooh, I love this word. We will wait for you since you have made all these. We pray to God because he alone is the creator. He created rain. He made the clouds to drench the land with life-giving water. Since he alone created the world, he alone has the power to answer our prayers and not to answer our prayers as well. Mother Valerie, Jeremiah chapter 15 and 16.
My Lord, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Jeremiah 15:1. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Even if Moses and Samuel, my mind would not be favorable toward these people. You know, it's bad. It's really, really bad to fall into the hands of an angry God. Because if you fall into the hands of an angry God, no one, I mean no one can deliver you. So make sure that you don't fall into the hands of God when he's angry. Obey God. Do what God said do. He's Abba. He's Father. Do what God said do. He said, cast them out of my sight. Let them go forth. And it shall be, if they say to you, where shall we go? Then you shall tell them, thus says the Lord, such as for death to death, and such as for sword to sword, such as for famine to famine, and such as for the captivity to the captivity. And I will pour over them four forms of destruction. God was angry. Four forms of destruction, says the Lord. The sword to slay the dogs, to drag the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. I will hand them over to trouble, to all kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. For who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who will bemoan you? Or who will turn aside to ask, how you doing? You have forsaken me. You have forsaken me, says the Lord. You've gone backwards. Then I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I'm weary of relenting. And the willing then with the willing stand in the gates of the land, I will berate them of children. I will destroy my people. God was angry, and he said, I will destroy my people. Since they do not return from their ways, their wonders will be increased to me more than the sands of the sea. I will bring against them, against the mothers of the young men, a plundering at noonday. I will call anguish and terror to fall on them suddenly. It is something to fall into the hands of an angry God. She languished who have bore seven. She has breathed her last. Her sun has gone down while it was yet day. She has been ashamed and confounded in the regiment of them I will deliver to the sword. Before their enemy, said the Lord, woe is me, my mother, that you abhor me, a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent for interest, nor have men lent to me for interest. Every one of them cursed me, the Lord said. Surely it will be well with your regiment. Surely I will cause the enemy to intercede with you. In the time of adversity and time of affliction, can anyone break in the northern gate and the bronze? Your wealth and your treasures I will give as plunder without price because of all of your sins throughout your territories. I will make you cross over with your enemies into a land which you do not know. For a fire is kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, you know. Remember me and visit me and take vengeance for me on my persecutors. In your enduring patience, do not take me away. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found, and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the assembly of the mockers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because of your hand, for you have filled me with indignation. Why is my pain and my wound incurable, which refuse to be healed? Will you surely be to me like an unreliable stream, as waters that fail? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will bring you back. If you return, you shall stand before me. If you take out the purses from the veil, you shall be as my mouth. Let them return to you, but you must not return to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified brass wall, and they will fight against you. But they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terror. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, and he saw what God was going to do. It's a sad and horrible, horrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. For this is the day that the Lord has made. That's our title. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Because when you fall into the hand of an angry God, nobody, no stature, no idol, no calf, no man, no woman, no one can deliver you out of his hand.
No one.
So obey God and do his will. Chapter 16. Word of the Lord also came to me, saying, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. And he's talking to Jeremiah. You won't take a wife, and you won't have sons or daughters. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, concerning their mothers who bore them, fathers who begot them in this land. They shall die a gruesome death, shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. That's why he told Jeremiah, you shall not have sons or daughters. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their corpses shall be meat for the birds of heaven, for the beasts of the field. For thus says the Lord, do not enter the house of mourning, nor go or lament or bemoan them. For I've taken away my peace from this people. God has taken away his peace. My Lord, they will have no peace. God took away his peace from this people, says the Lord. Love and kindness and mercy, both the great and the small, shall die in this land. God was angry. He said the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither mend nor mend for them, cut themselves, nor make themselves bam for them, nor shall men break bread in mourning for them to comfort them for the dead, nor shall men give them a cup of consolation to drink for their father or their mother. Also, you shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. That's why he told Jeremiah, you shall not have sons or daughters in this place. Don't have sons and daughters in this place because they're going to die. They should be like refuse on the face of the earth. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall be when you show this people all these words, and they say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster against us? Or what is our iniquity? What is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Why? Then you shall save them. Because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord. They have walked after other gods, have served them, worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart. No one listens to me. You follow the evil desires of your own heart. And you do not listen to God. He said, no one listens. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers. And then you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Woo! Not to have the favor of God is awful. God said, I'm not going to show you even favor. I won't show you favor. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the land where he had driven them, for I will bring them back into their land which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish them. And afterwards, I will send for many hunters. They should hunt them from every mountain, every hill, out of the holes of the rock. For my eyes are on all their ways. They're not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. And first, I will repay double. I'll pay double for their iniquities and their sins, because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable idols. Oh, Lord, my strength and my fortress. They, my refuge in the day of affliction. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and said, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthlessness, and unprofitable things. Will a man make gods for himself? How can a man make a god for himself? They said, will a man make gods for himself, which are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know my hand and my might. God is a mighty God. And they shall know that my name is the Lord. I will cause them to know my hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. Psalms 118. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. I will praise you. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the stone which the builders rejected. That's Jesus, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the chief cornerstone. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118:22-23 of life's lesson. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. The religious leaders of Jesus' day rejected him. And that's what I was saying, that's Messiah. Matthew 21:42, but as Peter declared, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Isn't that wonderful? God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. God is just a good God. He's good all the time. No matter what you go through, life lesson, Jeremiah 16:16. They should hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the holes of the rock. God will spare no effort to bless us, just as he promised. If we feel forgotten at the bottom of the sea or marooned on the fourth side of the moon, even from there, he will retrieve us to bless us. I'm going to turn this back over into the hands of our pastor. God is just good, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Wanted to go back over. We'll go over the Psalms. We'll go over the Psalm 118:10-14. We will include them in Proverbs on Sunday because I don't want to miss Sister Carolyn's word this morning. But if time permits, we will go back over some of the Psalms this morning. But I just wanted to say, great word, Mother, great word, great word. And Sister Carolyn has not her grandbaby girl is doing much better for the Lord. So thank you for your prayer for Sister Carolyn. And so we are going to go ahead and go to the Psalm, the 118th Psalm, starting at verse number 10. And it says, all nations surround me. All nations surround me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, for he has become my salvation. Whew! The Lord is our salvation. Thank you, Jesus. And I know we're going to go a little bit over this morning, but this proverb, the song, is so important that God told me to go ahead and do it. And it's a voice of rejoicing, and salvation is in the tent of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. But I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
And as we go and end our word this morning, Mother has already given it, but we're going to give it again. Mother, take us out with Psalm 118, verses 21 through 24, and I pray over all of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. And I pray over you and yours, as the word of God says, and Mother, I'll give the 24 to you. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Mother, take us out.
Amen. God is just good. Psalms 22, the stone which the builders reject has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. We will rejoice
We will rejoice.
And will rejoice no matter what's going on in Israel, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what happens day by day, we're going to be rejoicing. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the word of the Lord. For God is a good God. No matter what's going on around you, God is good. And he wants us to be thankful. He wants us to rejoice and be glad in Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
This has been a good word.
It is a beautiful word. I will praise you, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice glad in it. No matter what.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Mother. Mother, safe travels, because I know you don't do Sunday, so we just want to say thank you for joining us. We look forward to your return, and we know that all is well. God got you. We pray traveling grace and mercy over you today and always. May the grace of God abound in and surround you as you travel to and from your destination on your assignment for God. And may all things work together for good, for we know that you and I can love the Lord. So take care, have fun, have a good time, and know that you are in our prayers, and we pray the blood of Jesus over you. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that God will take care of you in your destination. And we look forward to your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed and wonderful vacation, Mother. Everybody have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Please join me from Blooming to Normal on Sunday as the word of God is going to continue to go forth. In Jesus' name. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Mother, and bless all of our pastors as they travel. Both pastors are traveling, and we'll be back Sunday. And, Lord, we're asking you to be with them and bless both of them. In Jesus' name, give them travel mercies. And it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.